Okay. Well, good morning. Let's go ahead and get started. This is a meeting concerning the conditions imposed on the recertification of the Premier voting systems. This is the first of four hearings, one for each of the vendor's systems. We are broadcasting over the internet and recording, so let me do some preliminaries. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, conducting the hearing on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman, who I understand is going to be listening in because he's not feeling well, but he will be following along. To my right is John Gardner, the head of the voting systems certification program, and to his right is Michael Chadwell, also at the testing board. And to my left is Stephanie Sigelski from the Elections Division. If anybody wishes to testify, please do sign up with the sign-up sheets on the table by the door. For the record, the time is 8:08 a.m. and the date is March 6, 2008. Just by way of background for the record, to put everything in context, at this point, under the court-ordered retesting, all four voting systems have been recertified, and all four were recertified with quite a few conditions. The conditions are set out in the overview binders that are published on our website. It's a little hard to track, and maybe more than a little hard, but it's definitely hard to track. The conditions to the reasons why the conditions exist, but in every case, the conditions are intended to address a particular deficiency that was identified during the testing process. And right after the December 17th announcement of the decisions, we did spend 4 hours with each vendor and interested county clerks going over the overview binder, in part trying to explain, I think, what some of the conditions were and where they came from and so forth. And yet I know it's still a little bit hard to track them, so that's one of the reasons for John Gardner and the testing board being here, in case there's, you know, still questions and so forth that might come up, I think, about the reasons for the conditions. And in some cases, I think the testing board, either because of the meetings we held in December or just because of additional work, the testing board is probably aware of some changes that need to be made to the conditions anyway. And so I think it may very well be appropriate then if we start getting into particular conditions. And John, if you are aware of something that has changed, or you know, if you're aware of a reason for changing things anyway, then I'll just depend on you to speak up. I want to focus on the conditions in particular. We did say after the December 17th hearing that there would be at least two opportunities to challenge conditions. One would be under the formal process, so that if vendors or clerks felt that the conditions really were equivalent to decertification, then they could be challenged under the formal request for reconsideration process, but also that we could also reconsider them under the informal process as well. And then House Bill 1155 really provides yet a third opportunity, and that's really why we're here today, is to look at the conditions in light of the House Bill 1155, which gives us a little more flexibility as well. I do want to point out one thing that I know there's been some questions about. The conditions do not apply to grandfathered equipment, equipment that was purchased or acquired before May 28, 2004. On the other hand, I know that for the equipment that the conditions do apply to, that there are substantial concerns. And we did get a number of written submittals from county clerks about the various conditions for the various systems, and including, I think, some with respect to Premier. So I want to, maybe with that, kind of go into, provide an opportunity for clerks and vendors and then the public to talk about any conditions that they object to. Hopefully, you know, with either why the conditions are not feasible or not reasonable or not related to a deficiency, or perhaps also how the conditions, the purpose of the conditions might be addressed through some other means. So with that, if I could have a, I don't know what, I'll just maybe go by the order people signed up, and if anybody did sign up. So what's that?
Two.
So who's first signed up? Karen Long, if you'd like to start us off.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Karen Long. I'm the Adams County Clerk and Recorder. Thank you for the opportunity today to address the conditions on the Premier equipment. Originally, the Premier customers had a meeting, a four-hour briefing, probably 6 weeks ago, concerning the conditions on our equipment. And we also filed, and several other counties, I think Premier users also filed formal appeal letters to address our concerns. I know that today we don't have time to repeat or go through the entire process we went through in the 4 hours before, and we haven't heard back on any specific conditions that we discussed before. I think what we know, there are several conditions that we still need to discuss. I personally, from Adams County, want to renew our objections and concerns with all the conditions stated at the previous meeting and in our formal appeal letter. Currently, we don't know specifically what the condition on security condition 1A, as mentioned in our letter, if you have our letter in front of you, amounts to, and so we would request some advisement on what that condition requires, because we don't know what's involved with that. And then we will submit by Monday in writing, if necessary, our concerns again by filing probably the same as before. And I would suggest that I think, particularly when it comes to central count, I believe that we need to wait until Senate Bill 189 works its way through the legislature, because I think it's quite possible that bill may shed some new light on these conditions. So I wanted that on the record as well. So
could you give me an example of how that might change?
Well, in particular, if the bill were to take counting ballots in a certain direction. So, because part of our conditions are on not only on precinct counters, but also on central count scanners. So I believe that we need to be sure that Senate Bill 189 and the conditions on this equipment fit together.
Okay.
Okay.
And maybe since you asked about 1A, I don't know whether, John, if you could, that might be an opportunity then to identify what deficiency that might relate to.
Yeah. Thank you. Excuse me. First, if I could comment on the pending legislation and central count. And I think we agree that there could be some issues that would impact the central count post-election audit. And I think just in general, the testing board kind of recognizes the need to change some of that information. And really, we have three primary goals with the central count change that was proposed. One, we wanted to make sure that it was an auditable trace all the way back to GEMS, so not just at the device level, but all the way back to the software. The second was to ensure that it wasn't a rerun of ballots, because currently the post-election audit is a rerun, so that was one of the goals. And then the third one was to increase the audit, so it was just a higher level. So, you know, debating back and forth about the numbers, really, I don't know if that's important to us, just making sure that it was some increased level. And I think the proposed legislation tries to address some of that.
Well, and in that regard, with audit particularly, currently the proposed legislation addresses a task force in the Secretary's office to address audit. So, again, I believe it's important to realize that we probably need to see where legislation takes us. Again, though, we're dragging the process out further and further, and I think I would suggest for myself as well as other premier counties that the quicker we can resolve all of it, the better for all of us.
And, you know, although the Secretary would like to, you know, adjust conditions within the 30 days House Bill 1155 speaks to, it's also true, I mean, we know that we can still address conditions after that as well. So I'm not sure where this lands with respect to that. I think if we know of the changes we need to make, I think the Secretary would probably still prefer to do that by March 12th. But points well taken that there may be, the legislation may require further changes.
Well, and frankly, I think when House Bill 1155 worked its way through the legislature and became law, the anticipation was that there would be a bill addressing this much sooner than the actual bill actually surfaced. So I think we have, again, some timelines that are dragging this farther and further out, and we need to be sure that what one piece of legislation created doesn't have an unintended consequence for another piece of legislation working its way through.
And John, were you saying that the testing board is already planning to make changes to 1A, or is it premature?
To 1A?
Yeah.
Not to 1A.
Okay.
That was a central count 4B.
4D?
D. D is in
okay.
Bravo.
And my point was to, in our letter, it's under number one, and it's specifically A, where it addresses software conditions, system database network security hardening. So we'd like to be able to further understand that.
And when you I'm trying to refresh my memory about this one, you mean just simply understanding what the condition is a little better, or understanding a little bit more about what the objective? I mean, I'm reading the part that says, hopefully I'm in the right place, it says, if counties shall submit plans for approval on overcoming these conditions through county environmental and/or procedural changes where possible.
Yes, we'd like to know what the condition is, or specifically what failed through this process. Does that help?
Can you speak to that?
I can, yes.
John?
Thank you. The root issue with the software operating system for GEMS is Microsoft Access, and that is fundamentally an insecure application. There are certain ways you can harden a Microsoft Access database using Microsoft tools, but we think that the way Premier has set this up, that those procedures would limit the ability to use the application. So therefore, we wanted to propose that if counties could come to us and say, you know, here's a physical environment change that would protect the database, or a procedural change that we're going to implement to protect the database from these issues that we talk about, being able to copy, open, overwrite without detection. Essentially, you can take the copy of your Access database, your election setup files, take that onto another workstation that has Microsoft Access, and you could go in there and modify vote totals. You can write macros and scripts to do various things when totals are introduced. So anybody in your office could do this. The vendor could do this if they're doing the programming for you. So finding a way to mitigate that procedure to protect your database is what we're looking for. And certainly there's lots of ways to do that. I mean, there's not a single solution that we could have proposed to lock everybody in. I mean, you could have some kind of environmental control, a physical space. Certainly the larger counties that are here probably have something already in place that would work, but we don't have that information or the ability to survey all the counties in a short period of time when we're writing these things. So we'd want to see that or get an understanding of it through your security plan. You could also do a procedure that would mitigate it as well. I mean, if you look at 1B in particular, making a copy of the database and storing that in a secured location, use of that and the controls you put around that secured copy could be enough to protect the database. And we would want to understand how you'd want to do that through your security plan.
Okay. And in our instance, and I think in the instance of several of particularly the larger counties, and I'm not trying to speak for those counties, but I know in our instance we've done exactly what you've talked about, and we've done it in past years. Security cameras, key padded doors into the security area, and as well as securing the database. So if that's what it is that you're suggesting, then that will help for us to know where we need to go with it. Like I said, we will submit in writing some additional comments by Monday.
Okay. So, John, just to make sure I understand, are you saying that, you know, since 1B is required, but by following condition 1B together with some description in the security plan about how that will be protected, that might be sufficient to meet 1A and 1B?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you have to consider more than just one type of control on the device. I mean, Karen mentioned the physical controls, the security cameras, the key card access. There's probably a limitation to the number of people who have access to the room and the number of people who have the passwords for the server. All those things come together. Plus, you do background checks on employees. Once a year, I would assume that's required. All those things kind of add up to mitigate this deficiency, but it's really important that the testing board identifies, you know, here we have at least 10 different failures that are security related because this is using a Microsoft Access database, that we have to accommodate those failures somehow. And I think the new security plan rules really help to mitigate that, and that's why we allowed for either environmental or procedural change, because I think the combination could address it well.
Okay. Okay, Karen, go ahead. Anything else?
Not anything specific, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Terry Schultz. Oh, yeah, Terry. Good morning, if you'll identify yourself and where you're from.
Thank you. I'm Terry Schultz. I'm the Chief Deputy and the Director of Operations for El Paso County. We just had submitted two conditions that we were concerned about. One was 1C. This was, again, on the system database and network security hardening. If we can do this, as you have suggested on the other ones, mm-hmm. with some procedural changes and through that with our security plan, if that's the direction that you are looking at, we certainly can do that. So, John?
Again, John, I haven't looked at this one for a while, but again, maybe if you want to refresh, at least by memory, what this is, and it probably relates to the same. It's all related to the same problem, the Microsoft Access, and so forth.
Just so I'm clear, we're still on software condition, and this is condition number 1C.
1C.
Okay. Because of the security concerns of the Microsoft Access database. What the testing board is proposing is, as you're uploading data, into the device. You are recording the information of that data. And this also goes back to trying to do the post-election audit back to the GEM server, because we know there's some kind of, there's limitations, you know, trying to get reports out after you've uploaded memory cards that are unique to that memory card, make it kind of a challenge. So this procedure was trying to allow for an auditing procedure that would take place later on during the Canvas process so that you would have all the reports necessary. Probably one of the hang-ups that may be in here is the fact that it was required to be done on election night. Okay, I think I remember from the letter that was written. And I think the testing board is agreeable to moving that away from election night and into the Canvas period. So the tracking and the reporting would still take place as desired by the testing board, but the timing of it would be different. And I think that's okay, because you are securing all these materials, that they're in your controlled environment under lock and key, and the data is going to be the same that's going to be collected. It's just you'll be able to do it at a time period where you're not quite as frantically trying to get the critical reports.
Yeah, our main concern was trying to do it on election night, which would be quite a challenge for us to do. If we can do it in the Canvas process, we'll do it in the Canvas process.
So, John, if it's not done on election night, I mean, what are the time frames, or does it matter?
Well, I think as long as it's done as part of the Canvas, because these are the reports they're going to need necessary to execute the post-election audit under the conditions that come up later. So the county would be responsible for getting these reports prepared prior to doing the post-election audit.
Okay. So that sounds like that would help if that
were
modified.
That's workable for El Paso.
Okay.
As long as we don't have to do it election night. The other one was on the central count for OS. It's 2B, and it is the recalibration of those scanning devices. We're not quite sure how.
Okay, so central count 2B.
Yes, sir.
Page 5, the version I'm looking at anyway. So this, again, this is saying in the event of a recount, there needs to be a technician on site to recalibrate the scanning devices. John, do you want to explain that any further? Is that
right. I could just speak to the rule that's referenced here. 2742D requires that optical scan equipment be set to sensitivity standards, recalibration prior to a recount. The issue that we have is, you know, we have this requirement, the system can't be recalibrated, and you know, we're not sure if that makes that not applicable, or is it just a violation because it can't be done. Technically, you know, from Premier, the information we receive is that that process is taken care of in the factory, that it's a manufacturing process, not a field operation.
Okay, some of that's coming back. So that the vendor says it, you cannot recalibrate in the field, right? So the consequence of that would be to remove the condition, I guess, unless there's another condition that addresses that.
And there's not.
Okay. Okay.
So that's our dilemma. Yeah. It can't be done, and yet the condition is requiring us to do it.
Okay. All righty. Anything else?
Those were the only two.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody else? I don't have anybody else signed up, so I was worried that we wouldn't have enough time, but there's no one else signed up, and so I'm going to close the hearing. But as the notice said, and as Karen noted too, there is an opportunity until, I think, Monday, I believe. Don't have the notice in front of me, Monday at noon, to provide any other written comments or objections. So And again, we'll, I think an objective would be to see whatever we can address within the 30 days by March 12th, understanding that this won't be the end of the story on conditions. So with that, thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate it. We'll go ahead and close, and the time is 8:32 a.m.